So the scariest thing about the church is that sometimes we're no different than out there. I want to talk to you of a difference today about conforming and transforming. The Bible talks a lot about both subjects. And we have to have a good biblical understanding of conforming to something and transforming into something. Okay? I found these pictures. I'm going to start out with these pictures, Tim, if we could, real quick. Uh-oh. I think I broke it. If it's broke, Tim did it. Tim, just let me know when you're ready, and then we'll go. If you guys see a picture pop up. Whoa. That's awesome. All right, so I'm going to start with it right there, and then when it pops up. Can you guys see that? Okay. Ah, there it is. That's conforming. Okay? That's conforming. Row houses. Everything looks the same. It all looks the same. All right, let's go to the next one. That's kind of freaky, but it's all the same, right? That's conforming. The next one. How many of you remember yearbooks in the 80s? Woo! It was a scary time, people, believe me. I remember most of it. All right, the next one. All right. High school uniforms. Can you imagine everybody wearing the same thing every day? Dude, where'd you get the shirt? So, that's your typical high school. Everybody looks the same, right? And this is the one I love. Oh, hold on. Don't go to that one yet. All right. So, you would think, you know what? Here's the... Metalheads think they are the most nonconformist people in the world. Right? We really do. We look at everybody and we say, oh, you guys are a bunch of conforming. Go ahead. All right, just a bunch of... So it really doesn't matter who you are, right? Conformity is conformity. So we need to get... Here, how many of you like to be not accepted by people? I saw one hand. But we all want somebody to like us. We all want to be accepted. We all want... Here's the thing. We may say we want to be different, but when it comes down to it, we want people to like us. We want to fit in. Nobody wants to be that person that's left out. We want to be something, we want to be part of something that's larger than ourselves. It's how we were created. It's how we were designed. It's the church. That's why the church is such a beautiful thing when it works right. Is because we were designed to be some part of something that's bigger than ourselves. But the problem is, because of sin, because of our own natural desires to do things our own way, we get it twisted. And in the life of a believer, that causes a whole lot of trouble. You see, it clouds our thinking and it clouds our decision making. It clouds everything that we do. We wind up compromising the ways we act, the things that we say we believe. We get it all twisted and we conform to the things around us. We get that? We conform to the things around us because we want to be accepted. We don't want to stand out as being alone, as being different, as being pointed at, as being the one that people talk about behind our backs. To be honest with you, that's the thing that drove me to addiction. The people I was hanging out with did it. I didn't want to be different. So I did it. Once I started it, I still hung around with them. I didn't want to be different. I kept doing it. Somebody had something new, we did that. Everybody else tried this, we did that. And I'm not blaming it on them. It was my choice. I was probably one of the ones that brought something new. But we all want to be part of something. And once you get into that mindset, it keeps driving your thought process farther and farther and deeper until you're embedded in that social group, whatever that social group looks like. If you would have said back then that, Wayne, you're conforming to that group, I'd have said, no way. I'm transforming into who I was, into who I was going to be, into who I was meant to be. Because, see, back then I didn't believe in God. So I wasn't being transformed to anyone's image. I was just transforming into who I was supposed to be. But really, I was conforming into everyone like me. I acted like they did. I looked like they did. I thought like they did. I responded like they did. And nobody in my group deviated from that pattern, because we would have been alienated from that group, and then who would I have belonged to? Who would have been my friends? Because, honestly, back then, I was a really mean person. And if you weren't part of my group, I had already alienated you. We had probably, if it was somebody I knew and you weren't part of my group, we had probably been in so many fights that anytime you saw me, we were thrown down anyway. So if my group wasn't my friend, then we didn't have any friends anyway. Now, I showed you the pictures of conforming, right? Here's the issue. Transformation is hard to illustrate. It's hard to illustrate. Society thinks they can define transformation. We say it's standing out from a crowd, right? We say it's being, a lot of people will define it as being flamboyant. A lot of people will... You see a picture of a butterfly, right? That's transformation. The issue is, see, the butterfly comes out of a cocoon, spreads its wings, it goes from something, a caterpillar, into this beautiful butterfly. That's transformation. But really, all that is conforming from one group to another group. It's not really transformation in the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, all it is conforming from one thing into another thing. And it's not transformation. Transformation, biblically, can never happen in your life until you accept the person of Jesus Christ. It cannot happen. The Holy Spirit living inside of a person is the only thing that allows you to transform. See, it wouldn't have mattered if I changed, even if I could have and I changed my friend group, because we all know friends drift in and out of your life all through your life, right? But until something like that happens, does your life really change? No. I had friends all through my life, and really, until the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, I was still a drug addict. I was still a mean, nasty, stupid person. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that can transform a human life. Biblical transformation is the process of becoming who you were created to be, and that's why it can only happen at the point where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we're going to be in the book of Romans. And we're going to start in verse 12. This is actually my favorite thing. And before I get too far, I want to do something. I told Pastor I was going to do this in the beginning. I totally forgot. So I do that a lot. So don't worry about it. We've been going through the Bible. Our theme this year is the Bible in me. And so I fought this because I am not good at memorizing Scripture. I am not good at it. All right? A whole lot of reasons for it. Drugs are a big part of it. But there's also a whole lot of other reasons too. So I'm gonna quote my scripture for you real quick while you guys are hurrying and mass turning to Romans chapter 12. Right? I'm lifting. All right, everybody, hold up your phone. All right. So Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14a. And now I've just totally forgot it. For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. Says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. You will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, I will listen to you, declares the Lord. So, there you go. If I can do it, anyone can do it. I promise you. That's the first time. So anyway, there it is. Romans 12. We're going to look at what God says, what the Bible says about a transformed life. Verses 1 and 2. I love these verses. If I ever give you a Bible, these verses will be highlighted. I guarantee you. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you. God, today, show us a difference. Show us that we are supposed to be transformed and not conformed. God, that's what your word says. Reveal something to our hearts, Lord, and let us not leave here the same. In your name I pray. Amen. So, the world teaches us that transforming is an outward appearance. Right? If I want to transform into something, I have to be like that butterfly, and I have to change the way I look. I have to change the way I dress. I have to change something so that when you look at me, it's apparent that something is different. Right? You should be able to look at me and know that I've done something. But that's not biblical. If we look at what the Apostle Paul wrote here, the base for what transformation looks like, it doesn't have anything at all to do with the way that we look, but it has everything to do with the way that we live. See, we get so concerned with the way that we look and the way we act externally and how other people perceive us that we run the risk that once we accept Christ, we actually believe that transformation is done. That now all we have to do is look like the people we attend church with. Don't believe me? Think about this. Where you go to church depends a lot on how you look. On Sunday morning, you can walk into almost any church. If you go to a really fundamental church, almost everybody's dressed ultra-conservative. If you go to a new modern church, everyone dresses like a hipster. If you go to the cowboy church, now you got to go out and buy boots, a hat, and a really big obnoxious belt buckle. See, is there anything inherently wrong with dressing that way? Not at all. Well, I mean, except for the belt buckle part. Hard to sit down in those things. They hurt. But there's nothing in here. But the problem is we think that's transforming. And it's not. And we get caught up. We put on our church clothes and we act like everyone else in the building, whatever that may look like, and we think we're conforming into or transforming into the image of God. And really, all we're doing is conforming into another person's image. We're conforming into the image of everyone else inside that building, and it has nothing to do with transforming ourselves into the image of a God, into the image of a holy God. Why do we do that? Really simple. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy to pretend I'm okay on the inside, change the way I look on the outside, than it is to actually find out what God wants me to do and put in the effort that it takes to truly change. I mean, think about this. I got saved when I was 26. I was used to conforming to everyone else back then for 26 years. I did that. One of the bands I worked for had a song called Social Chameleon. And it was all about one guy that worked for the band. But it didn't matter who he hung out with, that's who he acted like. And everybody knew it was about him except for him. And it was his favorite song. So every show he would request it. And it was the funniest thing ever. But you know what? We all did the same thing. When we hang out with this group, we act like this group. When we hang out with this group, we act like this group. When we're at work, we act like our work friends. When we're at church, we act like our church friends. When we're at the bar, we act like our bar friends. When we're at the this, we act like our this friends. And it's a whole lot harder to put in the work to transform every part of our life than it is just to change the clothes I'm wearing and pretend I'm all right on the inside. That's how we acted before Jesus. It's easy. It's our comfort zone. It's the way we camouflage ourselves so we don't stand out. According to this, the first step in biblical transformation is offering our lives back to God as a sacrifice. To us, we're like, okay, that's nothing. But see, back in Paul's day, when Paul wrote this to the church in Rome, this was earth-shattering to them, people. Remember, back then, when you committed a sin, or when you wanted to seek favor from either the true living God or any of the multitude of false gods they had around back then, you actually had to take an animal, place your sins or your wants upon that animal and have it slaughtered. Do we have that picture, Tim? Have it slaughtered, placed on the altar, the blood drained out of it, the blood splashed against the altar, and then the animal consumed by fire. When you think about that, becomes a little more personal. Paul says, do that with your own life. Now, be honest. If you'd have known this before you accepted Christ, how many would have still signed up for this? What do you mean? I thought I just had to say a prayer and I was done. Nope. Nope. See, when you do that, when you know you have to sacrifice something, you've got to put an effort into it. You've got to put the work in to rip that sin out and actually burn it. Leave it at the altar. That's why when we say come up to the altar and pray and leave, don't come up. When you come here, you burn it. You burn it and you leave it because now it's gone. They didn't burn that animal and then take the ashes and scoop it back into a plastic Ziploc baggie and take it back home with them. They left it there. Sometimes we don't know what that really looks like in our lives. Well, how do you do that? So it helps if we look at Scripture in different translations, paraphrases, and one that I do look at is the Message. And just to get it right, just so you know, the Message is not a translation of the Bible. The Message is a paraphrase. Basically, what it's doing is it takes the translation and then it tries to put it into a way that it's easily understood today. Okay? Just so you know, it's not a word-for-word translation of the Bible. But it does help us to understand the meaning. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message. And it gives you a little bit more idea what it would mean maybe in our language today. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. That's conforming. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Transformation. Readily recognize what He wants for you and quickly respond to it. Don't hesitate. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. See, Paul's talking something about something that's so much more foreign and harder for us to grasp. We're to take everything. We're to give up our life of conformity, every aspect of it, and put it on that altar of sacrifice. And that's hard. Think about everything that makes up who you are. Everything. Your family. Your friends. Your work. And here's a hard one. Your church culture. Your desires. Your speech. Your hobbies. Your dreams. Your children. Everything. Everything from your sleeping to your waking. What's that word everything mean? Everything. Yep. Can't exclude anything. Take that, and that's what God uses. When you offer all of that to Him, and you ask God to take that and transform us into who we were created to be, then we can start to reflect Jesus. That's transformation. Transformation isn't about what I'm wearing. Transformation is about who I'm reflecting. If I'm reflecting Pastor, I can use Pastor as an example in my life in following Christ, and I do. But if I'm reflecting Pastor, then I'm conforming to His image. God forbid. Pastor's supposed to be reflecting Jesus like I reflect Jesus. Yeah! There you go. That right there is confirmation, friends. See, we weren't created to look like each other. We weren't created to look like each other. We weren't created to act like each other. We weren't created to conform to each other's vision of what a Christian should be. So why in the world do we act so hard to fit in with each other? Why? We put so much effort into, if we put half the effort into transforming into God's image that we do in trying to fit into the person sitting to the left and right of us, how much more could God actually use us? We're called to embrace God, not culture. When we offer our lives as a living sacrifice, it's fully consumed by the Lord. But here's the sweetest part of all. Our life is left to us to become what God intended us to be. Because at that point now we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. He starts to point out areas in our lives that don't match up with His Word. And as we start to transform these areas into God's image, an amazing thing starts to happen. 2 Corinthians, these are going to be up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Actually, the verse is, and I think it's a picture. Oh, no, it is up there. Ha ha! Nailed it. "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Again, don't do math. I just spit them out. When we turn our lives over, a veil is lifted. And we actually get to become who we were created to be. The Bible says there's liberty. There's freedom. You want to know where freedom is found? It's in turning all this garbage over to Jesus and allowing Him to consume it and rip it away. Because then we look more like Him and less like the people around us. For Paul, this transformation, this renewing of our minds takes place when we really truly start to behold the face of God when we start spending time in His glory, and for the first time, we find liberty. Liberty, real liberty, is not something that this country gives us. We have a lot of really cool freedoms in this country. But if you want liberty, if you want real biblical liberty, seek the face of God. He will give it to you every time. We find freedom to be who we were created. And you know what? The cool thing is, once God gives it, nothing outside can take it away. The things that the world says are important are no longer important. When we live and follow, when we live in that new liberty and we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we begin to be transformed into the image of God, then the Bible says we move from glory to glory. It's like you're just on this trail, and God just blesses you, and He blesses you. And no, it's not financial, and no, it's not a bigger house, and no, it's not this. But you know what? It's things. God opens your eyes to things you never would have saw before. You never would have saw before. You know what a blessing for me is? I'm not in prison. You know what a blessing for me is? I have a beautiful wife that I've been married to for almost 26 years now. I have kids that are in church. My bills are paid mostly on time. I have a roof over my head and food in my house. I don't have to look over my shoulder every time I walk out of my house that somebody's going to put a bullet in my head. Because, go back pre-25, 26-year-old, I didn't know. I get to move from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. But I have to seek God. And I have to, every time He points one of these things out of my life, I got to stomp on it, pull it out, rip it out, lay it down on the altar and say, it's yours. Burn it up. Burn it up. And it always begins with the renewing of our mind. This is opposite to being conformed to the world. See, the battle between conforming to the world and being transformed is here. This is your battleground. We don't fight other people. My war isn't against liberals and Democrats and gay people. And that's not where my war is fought. They're captive. They're prisoners of war. Our job is what? To set the captives free. Not to engage in an argument with them every time I encounter them. Mine is to present Jesus and allow Jesus to transform them like He transformed me. So much going on in our country that's wrong. The church doesn't need to be part of that. We need to be who we were called to be so Jesus can do what only Jesus can do. This country has problems, people. The Holy Spirit, I promise you, can fix them. Every single one of them. How do we do it? Two main problems with many Christians are, one, we live a life based on feelings. And two, we're only concerned about doing. A life based on feelings says, I don't know, how do I feel today? I don't know, how do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife or my husband today? How do I feel about the worship? I don't know. How do I feel about the preacher? See, a life by feeling will never know the transforming power of God because it's living situationally. Because it ignores the renewing of the mind. It reacts to situations based on your feelings in the moment. You know what? Pastor said something I didn't like today. I ain't going back to that church no more. Forget the 10 years of blessings you've walked through. You know what? My wife did something I didn't like today. I want a divorce. Why? Because it's easier to sign a paper than it is to fight for that. We have a disposable society. And the problem is, because we conform to culture and not transform into the image of Jesus, we dispose stuff. We don't fight for it. Jacob Adesina talked about the lady that reached out and grabbed a hold of Jesus' garment. And said, because she knew if she could grab it, he would heal her. But we would rather stand on the sidelines and watch him walk by, and he's got everything we need to heal whatever the issue is we're dealing with. And we would rather watch him walk by instead of saying, Jesus, heal me. Heal whatever it is I need. And the church loses its power because we don't transform. We become the example that James uses in James 1:6, where we become tossed because we don't have faith. We become tossed about like every wave on the wind. We become blown around because we have no anchor. Because we just don't believe. We don't have that faith. We're not transformed. We're conformed, and we act in the moment. And the life based on doing says, look, I really don't need your theology. I really don't need what this says. Just give me your 3 steps. Give me your book on 7 points. Give me your ideas on how to be a successful person in 30 days or less. This kind of power, this kind of life never knows the power that's within this book. You know what? This book has been transforming lives for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Written on multiple continents by multiple authors over multiple thousands of years. And yet it never disagrees with itself at all. It has one common theme from first page to last page. And it is still changing lives today. But the reason that our churches lack power is because we'd rather read somebody, the next new author's book, instead of the author's book. Jesus said, come follow me. And in fact, the ones that did follow him or said, hey, yeah, I want to follow you. He said, oh, hold on a second. There's going to be hard times. You ain't going to have a place to live. It's not going to be comfortable. We ain't got no money. The guy that does hold our money, he pretty much jacks most of it. I mean, he didn't say that, but we all know he meant it. He didn't say, come follow me and I'll make your life easy. Your time on earth is going to be all rainbows and unicorns. And you want to know what hard life is? Give your life to Jesus. You know what? Doing drugs was easy. Holy smokes, man. The hardest part about drugs was who I was going to steal my money from next. That was the hardest thing. Getting the drugs was easy. Doing the drugs was even easier. Want to live for Jesus? It's going to be hard. Following Jesus is not a formula. Anybody that tells you that if you do these 3 things, Jesus will, doesn't know Jesus. Jesus never promised you. He said, the only thing he said was, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what he said. I'll never leave you. You're going to go through hard times. Well, yeah, you're going to go through hard times, but guess what? I'll never leave you or forsake you. If you keep walking my way, you're going to go from glory, glory to glory. But guess what? You're going to wind up down in the valley sometimes. But I'll never leave you or forsake you. People are going to die. Things are going to happen. Your kids aren't going to listen to you. You're going to fight with your spouse. People are going to cut you off in traffic. You're going to, and you know what? It's easy to flip people off and cuss people out and It's hard to hold your tongue and say, God, take that out of my head right now. Lord, bless that person and please keep them safe. Because some, you know, that's hard. God is not against principles of feeling and doing. Okay? Before we get too far. See, He's a God of power. And guess what? God is a passionate feeler. And God is passionate about doing. But feelings and doing are completely useless as foundations for our faith. God will give us extremely emotional times in our lives. And when you really lock into who God is, you're going to want to be a doer. You are going to want to be a doer. It's just, it's who we are. When we realize everything God has given us, we're going to want to give back. That's why we do what we do. They are insufficient foundations, though, for a Christian life. The first question cannot be, how do I feel about this? Or, what do I do about this? It should be, what is true in this situation? What does God's Word say about this situation? In Romans 12:2, the Greek word for transformed is metamorpho. Do you know that's the same word that was used in the transfiguration? The same word when the glory of Jesus, when He was transformed into the glory of Jesus, and they couldn't even look at Him, and they bowed down and they put their heads to the ground and they couldn't look at Him. That's the same word. That's what we're supposed to be transforming into. Ooh. Tell you this, I fall way short of that. But you know what? It doesn't stop me from trying. Because I'm going to fall short all the time of it. But that's my goal. My goal is to keep striving towards that. It's not just some piddly thing we work at. It is a glorious transformation that Jesus says you are to seek and work out. When we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, we are transformed on the inside. We are transformed on the inside. And then this miraculous thing starts to happen. The proof becomes evident on the outside. All the outside changes that we think are important, people noticing. People see all the other times when we conform, they're just superficial changes. But when we really, truly change from the inside, people notice. They don't notice because Wayne quit wearing all black and now he's wearing pink. Won't happen, but just so you know. But they notice because Wayne's acting different and Wayne's talking different and Wayne's not doing the stuff Wayne was doing. And we don't see Wayne in the places that we were seeing Wayne. And when we do see Wayne, he's talking not about what he used to talk about, but he's talking about something else. Exactly. Talking about this man named Jesus that did something for his life. Paul says, it says, by the mercies of God. Paul here explains how to live out the will of God. Keep in mind, we need to keep in mind the rich glory, the richness of God's mercy to us that was there at salvation, that's right now in this very second, and that's always available to us in the future. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's an act of intelligent worship, people. It's not just something we do flippantly. It's something we decide to do every minute of every day, is to yield our entire selves to Him. We're not to be conformed. Do you know you have to resist conformity? Because we slip into it so easily?
We have to resist conformity to the thoughts and the actions of this world. And we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds by focusing on God's Word and fellowship with God. You can only do that when you're in His Word and you spend time in prayer with Him. That's the only way. As you continue to surrender, your life will be in the will of God. Your life will prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can know what is good, what acceptable, what is perfect. But you'll never, never, ever live it out in your life outside of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, which goes right back to what I said in the beginning. If you ever want to experience this kind of a transformation, the only way to do it is through the blood of Jesus. That's it. If you've never known that, that's step one. You have to give your life to Him, because this world only offers us lies. Only offers us lies. Jesus is the only one that can transform us. So then I'm going to ask you to come up here and pray. If there's not a time in your life where you can point to that you turned your life over to Jesus, you gave your life to Him, today's the day. God doesn't want you to conform to the image of this world. This world, folks, is jacked up. And I promise you it ain't going to get no better. It will not get no better. But transforming into the image of Jesus, your life can be better. Your life can be better. I could ask for testimonies all over this room and hands would go up of what Jesus has done and what Jesus will continue to do. So ask yourself that question. Are you conforming or are you transforming biblically?